We will open this meeting with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So welcome back, everybody, to today's new motto. I just got this off of Facebook. Somebody put this on their page. And I thought, that's a good one. And I think I got a little too artsy, so if you're having trouble reading it, a smooth sea does not make for skilled mariners. A smooth sea does not make for a skilled mariner. And boy, ain't that the case. You know, I can stand up here today and say that I'm grateful for every difficulty that I've had in my life, because every problem, as they say, has a gift for you in its hands. But if somebody said, so that was so productive, how would you like to live through that again? I would probably say, could you please hand me that pistol? Well, I don't know. The other thing is that I actually can't go through those life experiences, because the person who went through them is no longer here, because they all changed me so much. But, you know, not that there aren't more of those AFGOs. You've heard that? Another freaking growth opportunity. AFGO, A-F-G-O, another for Schlugener growth opportunity, to put it in the Yiddish. You know what the F stands for. Don't make me spell it out for you. So I'm now apparently going to speak about step and tradition three. Well, I was speaking last night. For those of you who didn't hear me speak last night, I talked about my full journey through the 12 steps. I also said that usually when I lead a retreat, it's on all 12 steps. I'm often a little bit leery about talking about steps 1, 2, and 3 in a clump, because I think we often do a disservice, especially for people who are not familiar with the steps, talking about steps 1, 2, and 3 as if they can be done in that way, that you can just kind of, you hear about people saying, oh, you know, he's doing the 1, 2, 3 waltz for someone who's in the first three steps and never moves forward. And those of you who have done retreats with Lori, see, you know, he's got his heresies of OA, and I have my own, and we overlap to some extent. But I don't know if this is one of his, but this is one of mine, which is you cannot get stuck on step three. You cannot do steps 1, 2, and 3 and stop there. If you think that's where you are, in my experience, the way it appears to me, what's more likely is that you have gotten maybe halfway through step one. Because if you really recognize what your problem is, you're not going to stop there, because you are going to be standing there on the edge of the building with the fire at your back, and you're going to have to jump. If you think that you've taken step three and for whatever reason you're not moving on to the rest of the steps, then you don't really know how much trouble you're in yet. And you have not really taken step three, because you have not made that decision. Because the decision, as it says in the big book, is of little effect unless at once followed by a course of vigorous action to face and be rid of the flaws in our character that have been leading to our failure in this life. That is why I believe in the big book, steps 3 and 4 occupy the same chapter. And the name of the chapter is How It Works. There. But anyway, here we are. We're just going to talk about step 3, and then we're just all, that's going to be the end. No more. I'm not going to talk about step 4. Don't try to make me. Anybody who wants to talk about any of the steps, please, I'm more than happy. Lots of people here are willing to talk to you about the steps. And that's actually another thing that I wanted to bring up in this session. Many people here are looking for sponsors. Please raise your hands. Raise them up so that people can see them other than the top of your head. Thank you. So look around. These are the people who said that they wanted to have a sponsor. I see 5 hands. I saw 5 hands. Okay, now, who would be willing? Are there people here who are available to sponsor? I saw at least, okay. Please look around. These people are willing to sponsor. Those of you who are looking for sponsors, there they are. Problem solved. Again, if you really recognize what your problem is, you may be willing not to shop around. All sponsors are temporary, okay? Even the one that you've had for 30 years. It's all temporary if you look at the grand scale of things. But whether it's for the next week, just until Monday, or this is somebody you're going to stick with. If you came here and you really need a sponsor, you don't need to leave without one because you saw those hands go up. And what I would ask is that when this meeting breaks up at 8 o'clock, I would request that those people who said they were available to sponsor, please go and write your contact information on that butcher paper right there so that they're there. That would be good. Our literature tells us that a problem really resides in ourselves. And our self is manifest in our thinking about ourselves. So it's our thinking that's messed up. And I heard one of those phrases sometime in the last couple of years that made me kind of go, whoa. Because it sounds really deep, as well as I think it is really deep. And that is, self cannot reveal self to self. That's a chewy one. And that was my problem, is that I kept thinking that in this program, I'm going to be like this. I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm going to be like this. And until I was really willing to accept instruction in working the 12 steps, that I wasn't interpreting myself, I didn't really do a lot of changing. I did some changing, but the kind of substantial and lasting change in my thinking came when I was able to accept that idea that I was not going to be the agent of change in my life, that I was going to need help from other people. What it really kind of required was accepting that everything I knew was wrong. Not because it was wrong necessarily, but because it was something that I thought I knew. And it said we had to let go of our old ideas absolutely. Now, I have certain ideas. You should be kind to children. You should be kind to people. These were ideas that it has not been necessary for me to relinquish those. But what I had to do was to open my hand around everything and then see what was still there as I worked through these steps. But allow everything to go. Just to question everything that appeared between my ears. And what I learned was, as I said earlier, that a lot of what I saw as being the way things were turned out to be my opinion. What I saw over and over again, for example, in my resentment inventory, was that I had expectations that people would behave in a certain way because I had an expectation that they had signed up for the Margaret Code of Conduct. And I thought it was universal, and it turned out that it began and ended with me. Now, many people seem to agree with me on many points, but as it says in the big book, in the description of step 3, the result was that I stepped on the toes of my fellows and they retaliated. Because they didn't like running around with me passing judgment on them in many cases when they knew it. I was also passing judgment on people who had no idea that I was alive. I had a lot of resentments. This is another really good illustration I've heard, another image that I liked a lot about what the bondage of self was. And many of you may have heard this illustration. In some parts of the world, you can trap a monkey because of the monkey's higher level of intelligence, tricks it into doing this thing that we too can be tricked into doing. You take a gourd or something like that, you hollow it out, you cut a hole, you cut a hole inside, hollow it out, and put inside some treats that the monkey's going to like. Now, you can't do this with animals of lesser intellect because they can't be fooled this way. The monkey puts its hand in, grabs a handful of the treat, and then its hand is too big to get out of the gourd. And so, what is holding it in the trap? Its mind. What was holding me in my trap? The bondage itself. My mind. But to the monkey, the force that's operating on it to keep its hand around that thing, even when it's about to get captured, is so strong that it cannot will itself to open the hand. That was what had to happen to me. I had to be, again, put into that position of willingness that I was willing to come to this place, to make a decision. In the writing exercises, I use step 1 in Tradition 1 as surrender, step 2 in Tradition 2 as trust, step 3 and Tradition 3 as a commitment. The decision, I believe, really is a commitment. And I also believe that Tradition 3 is a commitment. Because the commitment that I have to make in Tradition 3 is to accept and work with whoever I find in this fellowship, regardless of whether I like them. You know, in step one, you know, we surrender to the need for help from others. And in step two, we trust that we can get help from others. But in step three, then I have to make the commitment that I'm going to seek it from others, and that I'm going to accept the others that I'm presented with. Because of tradition three, I cannot form an OA group that excludes anybody who has the desire to stop eating compulsively. Now, we have special focus groups, and I'm not going to get into a big discussion of that, because there are men's groups, women's groups, gay groups, groups for different professions, but one thing that they all have in common is that they're special focus meetings, but they don't exclude anybody who is an OA member, and you're an OA member as long as you have the desire to stop eating compulsively. In step three, I make a decision to a course of action, a decision that I'm going to turn my life and my will, in other words, my thinking and my actions, because my life is made up of my actions. My will is my thinking, and I'm going to give them over to this power greater than myself that I don't even know yet, that I don't even know what it is yet. You also, again, here's another hairy old saw that I'm sure many of you have heard, but I'm going to say it anyway. And it's about that word decision. Okay, so three birds are sitting on a branch. One of them makes the decision to fly away. How many birds are sitting on the branch?
Three.
Exactly. There's three because it has made a decision, but it hasn't taken any action yet. When I first encountered step three, I thought I had taken it, or what I thought I was doing by doing step three was turning it over. And I remember, I actually have a memory of sitting at my desk at work and almost feeling like I was, you know, forgive the image, pooping. Because I just remember straining really hard about something and just going, I'm going to turn over. And I didn't have the capacity to turn anything over yet. A, I had not built this relationship. I had not cleared away all the crap that was blocking me from this power sufficient that there was a pathway between us. You know, I had no access to this power yet. Just enough, you know, I had enough to keep me moving forward, but I really, I needed to do the actions in steps 4 through 9 to clear away enough junk so that I could now have access to this power. What I didn't understand was that step 3 does not say turned over our lives and our will to the care of God. It said made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Eventually I came to understand this because eventually I continued with the action steps of 4 through 9 and things really started to change. This, I believe, is another great misunderstanding that can happen, that taking step 3 should be turning it over. It is not. It is a decision to turn it over, and that decision, when followed by the course of action, makes turning it over possible. Once I've made that decision, and this is the last time I took a formal step 3 with a sponsor, she had me sit down, we joined hands, and before we said this third step prayer together, she said, "You need to understand that this is a covenant with God. You are entering into a contract. God is going to deliver you from this disease, but you have your part too. The first part of this covenant is that you are going to complete the steps. By taking step 3, you are making an agreement that you are going to complete steps 4 through 9, and then, having done that, that you are going to continue to live in this new way of life, and that's what steps 10, 11, and 12 will enable you to do. You are also making a covenant to do this work with other women." And that was what it was important for her, that I understand and agree to that before we said the third step prayer together. And when I now do the steps with people, I explain that to them. I take that very seriously. And because of that, because of having taken that action, and now I do believe that I have begun to develop the capacity to turn my life and my will over to this power. It's something that I really have to practice a lot. But because I've done that, I think that I really am able to accept people in Overeaters Anonymous a lot more because I can accept myself now. That's what happened to me by working steps 4 through 9. I came to understand that I was actually human. You know, I have to tell you, that's the one, if I really were going to tell you the thing that I don't want you to know about me, it would be that I'm human. Because I keep trying to hide that fact. But slowly, I am accepting myself as I am. I have compassion for myself in all of my character defects, in all of those things that I still do to try to make myself feel better and try to make you like me. And because of that, I am able to accept you where you are. And when I have a judgment about you, and I do because I'm human, I notice the judgment and I have first compassion for myself because I know that that judgment is coming out of fear. I'm comparing myself all the time. I want to be good enough. I don't have to. You know, God put me here. It's really not up to me. I don't need to be the judge and jury anymore. And then I have compassion for you because I know that you're like me and you deserve it, you need it, and I want you to have it because I want to have it. And because of that, Tradition 3 has really become an operating part of my life. And what that means, I in our smaller group, I was talking about some of the things that I still have trouble with doing, trusting that it'll be okay if I do what OA asks me to. One of the things that OA asks me to do is to practice anonymity. And one way that I can practice anonymity is by sharing with and asking for help from people that I don't know, because they're also OA members. That could mean just talking to one of you that I don't really know very well. You know, maybe you don't have a lot of time in program, maybe you're not abstinent or whatever, but you're still like me, and you are a source of help. It might also mean getting a phone list for a meeting and just calling people that I don't even know, and I have a hard time doing that. But that's part of the way that I practice not only the tool of anonymity, but Tradition 3, that we are all OA members. And so, you know, so you're a source of help for me in that way as well. In the writing exercise that I made up, and again, you know, if you're leaving tonight, then do what you will with it. But one of the most beautiful words for me is the word devotion. And it has a lot of different meanings. I didn't put the definition here, but I said another word that expresses the sense of commitment is devotion. And the question was, what does it mean to you to be devoted to your OA recovery? Commitment, I sometimes has a little bit of a to it. It's gonna ask something of me. But I think devotion has a very different flavor. It certainly does to me. Because there's something about commitment that I can almost hear the click of the handcuffs, you know? Yeah? Okay, good. The clang of the bars of the door as it shuts behind you. But devotion, even when I picture the word, I see my heart moving out. There's also a beautiful part of step 3 that we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, not the possession of God or into God's charge, or we commit our lives and our will, but we are entrusting something into the care of a being that hopefully we're beginning to feel has our best interests at heart. So that idea of being devoted to the fellowship, being devoted to the program, is an easier way sometimes for me to think about doing what I have to do. What does it mean for me? There's another line in the big book that says, you know, we addicts are undisciplined, so we allow God to discipline us. And that was another one, you know, when I hear the word discipline, I hear the crack of the whip. Did anybody here live under the sentence that maybe you'd heard from a teacher? Well, he's a good student, but he's undisciplined. It doesn't work up to his potential. Yeah. That was something that I told myself a lot. I'm undisciplined. That word discipline also had a very harsh taste to it. But the root is the same as disciple, simply meaning someone who follows the teacher. We are each other's teachers. Since God is expressed through our group conscience, We discipline each other, not through punishment, not through sentencing or anything like that, but by teaching and sharing and devotion to each other. We herd each other. You know, we travel in a pack, and we watch out for each other. Nobody's in front for all the time. Nobody's straggling behind all the time. We're, you know, hopefully rotating through the positions. So these are the ways that I see step three and tradition three as fitting together. The theme of this weekend, moving forward together as a fellowship, as a retreat group, as an intergroup, it's really a beautiful thing. And somebody earlier was talking about taking an improv class. And one thing that you learn if you ever study or practice improvisation is that when you're out on stage, you're never alone. You're not responsible. If anybody's ever seen bad improv, usually it's, you know, 2, 3, 4 people on stage and everybody's talking at once. And what they're all experiences, and they're terrified that the scene is going to go down the tubes if they don't drive it. And what you start learning is that nobody's responsible for the scene, because everybody's responsible for the scene, and the scene happens. And the same thing here, the fellowship, no one of us has to carry this thing forward by ourselves through our sheer force of, you know, of gritted teeth. We surrender to the need. We trust in the process, and we make a commitment to each other. You know, we're all married now. And the only thing that's keeping us in here is that decision that we make on a daily basis. The step three prayer is the thing that I say pretty much every morning. Even though I took it very formally a couple of times, but it's something that I return to all the time. When I'm struggling with a decision, when I'm unhappy with the way a situation turned out, I return to God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. And remind myself that all I really have to worry about right now is what's the next right thing, and just, you know, here I am. This retreat and this theme of moving forward together, think about it not as, in the big book, in A Vision for You, it uses that beautiful phrase, trudging the road of happy destiny. And it takes trudging, which is maybe not the lightest and most joyful, but it sort of, you know, gives it a little bit of a smile that we are trudging the road of happy destiny together. Sometimes we're moving together like the, you know, a samba parade at Carnival, and other times we're moving very, very slowly. We share each other's sorrows. We share each other's triumphs. This is a miraculous thing, because, you know, look around you. When you come back here next year, a lot of us won't be here. Sadly, a lot of us won't be here. But there's going to be new faces. I hope you're not going to be one of the people who isn't here. And if you're not here, I hope it's because you're on a cruise or something like that, not because you've left OA. But I do hope that there's going to be the new people here. I guess I'm going to wrap up this section of the sharing for tonight. First off, by thanking everybody who made the schlep out here, who's going to be leaving tonight. Thanks for coming out. It's been wonderful having such an enormous group. And I really hope that you'll consider coming to an intergroup meeting at some point. Just, you know, I think, and you don't have to sign up for, you know, 7 years of Durance Vile or anything like that. You can just go. Go to the Unity Day event. Go to the summer retreat. Tell other people about it, about the time that you had here. Because these events can really be a spark that just ripples out into your meetings. The other thing that I wanted to close with is congratulations on a day of abstinence. And again, I just want to reiterate, if you find yourself right now going, oh, can you allow yourself not to manage the game for right now? Can you just for now just claim your abstinence? Because there's not one person here who has put together any length of abstinence that doesn't have a day. Please If you are leaving here tonight, I hope you will at least make an arrangement to call somebody tomorrow, call somebody from this retreat, make a phone call, even a day trip. You know, there's a reentry process to be had. After we close this, we're going to be going into Jeopardy, but again, those people who are willing to sponsor, if you could just go sign up on the butcher paper over there so that the names and numbers are right there. Those of you who are looking for sponsors, go take those numbers down. And same thing, I would suggest that you don't leave here without saying, I'm going to call you. You don't have to get engaged tonight. You don't have to. Everybody who needs a sponsor can leave here with a sponsor tonight. I guess what I would request then is that we close with the third step prayer. If you're not on the third step, don't worry. You're not going to be struck dead if you say it. And if you don't know the words, just listen. It's real pretty. And hum along. So we will close this session with the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of Thy power, Thy love, and Thy way of life. May I do Thy will always.